Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Parmalat conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, the 21st of October, 2008. I would now like to turn the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Nicola Palmieri. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes. Shall I do the introductory?
Yes.
Okay. Nick Palmieri speaking. I am General Counsel at Parmalat. And I should address some people, those who are listening may be interested in. I'm just concentrating on major aspect, and I am ready to answer questions thereafter. The most important thing with respect to yesterday's jury verdict in the Parmalat city trial is that we had two major concepts. One is the counterclaims. The counterclaims, except for the past insolvency conversion, could and should not have been dealt with in a United States court. The very simple reason is that these claims belong to the bankruptcy court in Italy, in Parma. They have been decided upon. It seems quite clear to me that if anybody tries to enforce this part of the verdict, it has to be done as the bankruptcy, the United States bankruptcy court has already decided a long time ago, has to do it in Italy. And in Italy, it is very, very unlikely that any court will give effect to this part of the judgment for the simple reason that no other court on the whole planet has the jurisdiction to adjudicate on this claim except for the court in Parma, the bankruptcy court in Parma. And the law would not be much different in most other countries. This is one aspect. With respect, and this would be part of a motion that we will most likely file briefly, and if the motion is denied, then it would be part of an appeal. Second aspect is the appeal itself. We have reserved to appeal from some answers to our motion for reconsideration at the time of summary judgment. The summary judgment had two concepts that we believe need to be readdressed. One is that the judge in New Jersey said, with respect to deepening insolvency as a measure of damages is an accepted rule in the United States, in New Jersey, but it is not in Italy. But this is totally wrong. It is in Italy, and actually Italian law is very, very similar to New Jersey law on this aspect, and therefore it should not be excluded, our claim to address damages under the doctrine of worsening insolvency should have been admitted, but for some misconception of the Italian law, it was not. And we feel real strong on this point. There is another point which is known under a Latin expression in pari delicto, which means that you could not come to court if you don't have clean hands. However, on this point, the judge said we would be entitled, we Parmalat, notwithstanding the doctrine, but only with with respect to larceny. That larceny would be carved out from the overall prohibition of coming to court because, with this claim, because under New Jersey law, the administrator, the extra, you know, the commissioner, would stand in the shoes of the old corrupt insiders and therefore could not claim under, and therefore his claims would be barred by the infallibility of buffering. The law in New Jersey is, and it is embodied in several cases, one really Supreme Court, the Supreme Court case, MCP versus KMPG, where it says there is no requirement of total abandonment of the corporation's interest in order to let the claim go to the jury. And total abandonment is when the self-dealing would be complete. Now, the judge really admitted larceny, but that is not the only carve out, and we believe that also under this aspect, an appeal should be accepted and favorably ruled upon. There would be many, many other aspects to deal with, but I don't go into what was the merit of the case itself. Hopefully you have all, some way or the other, followed this trial and know how these things stand. I concentrate, therefore, only on these which are the most important present issues for further action. And with this having been said, I leave it for you to ask questions.
Please, the Q&A session is open.
If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please stand by while we collate the questions. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from David Hayes from Nomura. Please ask your question.
Hi, afternoon all. I'd like to ask two questions, actually. Just in terms of the appeal process, I just wonder whether you can tell us the time frames, potentially, that you might have on that happening, and also the process itself. So who makes the decision about the appeal? If you're successful in appeal, do we go back to another jury-based criminal process or criminal case? And then secondly, in terms of timing as well, really, in terms of the criminal case being pursued in Palmer and obviously your civil claim related to that, can you give us an update on the timing of that criminal case processing process and, again, the timing on the, your civil claims against that side of the situation as well? Thank you very much.
David, let me address the United States situation. We have, I believe, 20 days for motions, for filing our motions addressing judgment, not extending verdict, and other motions of this kind, and we are working on these at present. We are waiting for the judge to rule upon this motion, and this kind of rulings are very quick. They come within days. Thereafter, if my recollection is As I said before, we have reserved appeal on the issue of summary judgment, and we will include in the appeal other issues, and we are most likely filing an appeal. Then I believe, and this is on the civil case. In the United States, we have civil case, nothing else. The criminal case, I don't know really how I should address the criminal cases. There are many. There is a criminal in Milan, there is criminal in Parma, and maybe you are asking the situation in Parma, really aiding and abetting in fraud and bankruptcy, in which city is involved there. We are in the interim phase, a phase that we call in the United States a grand jury situation. That will take some time, maybe a couple of months, maybe longer than that, but it's all open to how the Italian procedure would progress. But that's really what is going on in Italy, but it is separate and apart from what is going on in the United States.
Okay. And just getting back to the appeal process, so is it Judge Harris will make a judgment on the filing of the appeal within days, as you say, once it's been filed, and if Judge Harris deems that it shouldn't go to appeal, is that the end of the process, or is there another route
that
to be appealed in that case?
The situation is this. What we had until yesterday was the trial court. After jury verdict, it's common in the United States to have motions that could set aside the verdict. It's very seldom done, but these motions are generally filed by the losing party, and we will file these motions. These motions go to the judge of Superior Court in Vernon County, which is Judge Harris, and he will decide upon those motions. Once this is done, there is the appeal phase, and the appeal phase will be addressed by the appellate division, it's called in New Jersey, which is another court. And after the appellate division, which where we have an appeal as of right, there is a third stage, which is the Supreme Court of New Jersey. But you don't go to the Supreme Court of New Jersey if you don't have leave to appeal. You have to ask the judges of the appeal court if they give you leave, then you go. That's kind of a procedure like the Supreme Court, but not that stringent as that one.
Okay. And just assuming that you're successful in the appeals, do you have to go through another jury-based trial at that point? Is that the kind of the outcome of the appeal, or is the appeal enough that the verdict will be overturned and that then stays as the final outcome? I'm just trying to understand whether there's another jury process in the whole in the whole New Jersey side of the case.
Well, that depends on how the Court of Appeal would rule. The Court of Appeal could totally set aside what has been done below, and then obviously the other party could start all over again. The bottom line answer to your question is, yes, generally speaking, there will be a trial ex novo.
Okay, thank you very much.
You ask, well, that depends. You know, it's in the United States, it's the U.S. Constitution of a long, long time ago that you have a right to jury trials. And if the party is up for a jury trial, then it will be a jury trial. Otherwise, it could be without.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Carmelo Papalardo from Dresdner. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, Mr. Palmieri. I have three questions, please. The first question is it possible to have an indication or what should be the overall amount of the counterclaim you have in the all actions for damages, both in US and Italy? Second question is clarification on the technical aspect of the counterclaim. Is it possible to have, in theory, a counterclaim in a clawback in Italy? Third question is on Bank of America. In particular, is the jury who decided yesterday on Citigroup will be the same for the Bank of America actions?
Okay, let me answer the last question first because it's the easiest. The jury is certainly not the same. It would be a jury selected in an other state of the United States and in another superior court. We are talking of North Carolina. This is where the case will be tried, and with a jury that will be selected according to the rules of North Carolina. Then you answered about the technical aspects of counterclaims and whether counterclaims should be could be filed within a clawback action. I really don't understand this question because there is no clawback action. Therefore, it's a very abstract question. But your first question is quite important. What is the value, I guess, this was your question, what is the value of the counterclaim? Now, as I said in my introductory, the counterclaim could not be legitimately brought in the United States. It belongs to the place where the bankruptcy is still in session, the bankruptcy court, and that is Parma. In Parma, this is a claim in bankruptcy. In Italian, we would call it insinuazione tardiva. It is a late claim in the bankruptcy. And they should have asked for this claim in Italy. And in fact, they did. They did go to the Italian court. They did get satisfaction as unsecured creditors. They got a certain amount of Parmalat stock, which, as far as I know, they sold. And now this was the second bite of the apple. What they didn't get in Italy, they tried to get now in the United States. But they still have, under the ruling of Judge Drain in the United States Bankruptcy Court, they still have to come to Italy to show this verdict, this decision, this United States decision. And it is very hard to believe that the court, the bankruptcy court in Parma, will accept as is the American verdict. The Italian court will most likely simply reanalyze the request, the claim, see whether it is not a duplicative of what has already been filed, which most likely is the case. If it's not, it would grant, it would accept the claim, but under the concordato, which means at the recovery ratio that applies for this kind of claims, which is 6.9% on the dollar, 7% on the dollar. And you can do your own math. You take what the United States court has indicated to be the amount that Syria has claimed. It is in dollars, so you have first to convert it into euros. Once you have converted it into euros, you do 7%, and then you see how much stock Syria would be entitled to receive. But I say again, it is all theoretical what I am telling you, because most likely they will get nothing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Ben Wells from Churchill Castle. Please ask your question.
Hello, it's Ben Rolfe from Churchill Capital. I have a couple of questions, actually. You obviously believe you have grounds to appeal. I was wondering if you could just elaborate on that a little bit. Second question is, do you think this decision affects the other ongoing trials in the United States? My third question is, why pursue the appeal if you think the Italian court will not accept this decision from the US court anyway?
Again, I start with the last, which is the most easy. So far, I have only addressed in my last answer to question the color claim, but we have also a principal claim, a main claim, which has been denied. Therefore, is not only for the counterclaim, which is a little part which does not concern us that much, but we have a affirmative claim for a quite significant amount of damages. And if we do not appeal, we would not have a chance of having reconsidered that part of the verdict, which is the most important. Let's forget about the counterclaim, which is easy. Let's look at the principal claim, which we are obviously very, very much concerned to have reconsidered by the appeal court. Then you asked about other trials, whether it may affect other trials. Maybe, although the claims of that we have against Citi are very different from those against Bank of America, as you probably have read in the papers or you have been present in court there, the Citi situation is all centered around the old accounting trick to make loans appear as equity. That's all, which was the situation in Enron, which has been in many other scandals. And it was exactly the same here. The red flags, the window dressing, and all of this in order to maintain the old Parmalat in the eye of the public as a viable company when it was not. And you do this, one of the classic means of doing it is you lend money, but you have it show as equity, so it is a totally different treatment in the balance sheet. Therefore, although being different, I would say that psychologically there could be some reflection, but not very much. Maybe another aspect which you have not asked, but I will elaborate a little bit, is the general crisis, the bank crisis and the economic crisis that we are witnessing here in the United States and all over the world. People and jurists are just ordinary people are very, very much concerned about their own money, their own bank accounts. What will happen? They all have this specter of 1929 in front of them without knowing exactly, but if something similar happens and $1,000, $1 million become worth $1. But this is a kind of situation that people are concerned, and it may as well affect psychologically their reaction. Why should we award to this Italian company so much money and deprive our banks? You look around every corner, there is a Citibank. Why should we deprive our banks even of more money after what they have already lost? This could be part of the reaction, and I wanted to add it to my answer to your second question. Now, the appeal. You wanted me to elaborate on the appeal? Well, the appeal will, as I said before, address the main, our main claim, which is the damages that we have suffered because of the aiding and abetting by Citi to the corrupt insiders of Parmalat, obviously before Parmalat, before bankruptcy. Now, this claim was at worsening, the deepening and worsening, deepening and silence, the deepening damages. Now, as far as the impari delicto, there is the rule in majority, and there is also the rule in Italy, that if you abandon as a director of a company, as a manager of a company, you abandon the interest of the company itself and do only your personal benefit, you deal in your self-interest, then the company will no longer be vicariously responsible for the acts of those corrupt directors. And the Supreme Court in New Jersey, that's what I was addressing before, has declined to require total abandonment of the corporation's interest in order to let a claim go to the jury. And the judge has, in fact, permitted Larsen, but Larsen is not the only one. The Supreme Court has said there could be others, and there are other situations, and in such situations, it should not be excluded, but it should become a factor in apportioning damages. Now, apportioning is something totally different, and we have it also in Italian law, than the total exclusion. I mean, I think I'm getting now quite technical, but it is important because otherwise I could not answer your question.
Could you ascribe a probability of winning this appeal? I mean, do you think your chances are sort of more than 50%?
Well, we believe we would win in front of the jury, and we didn't. So. I don't know what I should say. I feel real strongly in law. Speaking as a lawyer, I feel very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel stronger now that I know it's in the hands of the judges. Now, when you are in the hands of seven jurors who are ordinary people, you know, juries were developed in old Greece, in Athens, you had 500 jurors, 1,000 jurors in major cases. So what can you do in such situations? Then the jurors go back to the Magna Carta. I mean, these things, these medieval remnants are still alive in the United States just because the Constitution says that everyone is entitled to a jury. But with juries, you don't feel very comfortable as far as the understanding of the law is concerned. Mm-hmm. The judge did an excellent job, Judge Harris, in explaining the law to the jury, but it was absolutely impossible for the jury to deal with this very sophisticated concept of law. Now we are going to judges. Now, when you are in front of judges, as a lawyer, I can tell you I feel comfortable.
Mm. Okay, I was wondering if you could shed some light on how much you've actually spent on this trial so far.
Oh, I don't know. This I cannot tell you, but certainly it was much less than what Siri spent, as far from what I hear from our outside attorneys. It was quite significant. You know that our budget is around a little over 50 million euros a year, and a good chunk, maybe half of it, of that, or even a little bit more, is spent in the United States.
Mm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Your next question comes from David Hayes from Nomura. Please ask your question.
Hi, Mr. Balmary. So just to follow up, just to clarify my understanding on the decision to bring the damages or the award back to Palmer, will it be the New Jersey Supreme Court that makes that decision as to whether payment goes back to Palmer? I'm just trying to work out who actually makes that decision that the 364 is viewed either as a U.S. payment or back in the Palmer bankruptcy court.
Okay.
Sorry.
The answer is as follows. We don't know how things will die right now and how they go up the steps, but it is irrelevant. Whether it comes from the jury or all the way to Canossa, we say in Italy. They have to come to us.
Okay.
Probably they try now because the U.S. all decisions are immediately enforceable. Not now in this very moment. Just to go through these motions of which I spoke to you before, but once motions have been taken care of, the decision is enforceable. So why should city wait until the case goes up on other matters? If I were city, once it's enforceable, I go to Parma. And at this moment, it will be the moment of truth, because Parma will then have and address this issue, as I said before.
Okay, so it's 100% certain that this 364 goes through the Palmer bankruptcy process. That's a given.
I don't know what 100% means. Failure is the law in the United States right now. Judge Drain in New York, in the District Court of New York, has decided that claims have to go to... And Judge Kaplan has said the thing. I said that liquidate here in the Southern District, but once you have to go to Italy to get it approved. Of course. Therefore, there is barely a chance for the city buy anything in the United States. And in fact, the city has openly said so. What if we have a favorable judgment, we go to Italy.
Okay.
Well, we expect them, let's say, in 20 or 30 days, Italy, and then we'll see. But this is not a 100% or whatever. It is what under present rulings of the law, United States rulings.
Okay. And sorry, just a couple of other follow-ups. In terms of the Supreme Court of New Jersey, assuming that that outcome isn't as you'd like it to be, I assume you have other courts you can then go through, I mean, up to the U.S. Supreme Court ultimately. Is that true, or is the U.S., is the New Jersey Supreme Court, the New Jersey Supreme Court the last port of call for you?
The New Jersey Supreme Court is the highest court of the state.
Okay.
Maybe academic possibilities of going to the United States Supreme Court, but let's rule it out.
Okay. Okay. And then, sorry, my final question is on the Bank of America case. I think your timing on that when we last heard was at the second quarter of 2009 in terms of progression. Is that still the case? And also, do you know, have you got visibility on whether that's a jury trial as well, or is that something you won't get visibility on until closer to the case starting in 2009? Thanks.
Okay. You say case starting to 2009, and I'm glad you do. Because there was a news article a couple of days ago in Italy where somebody of the Bank of America was quoted as saying that the case would start in 2010. We have no indication that this it will be the case. Judge Kaplan said quite a long time ago that he has put the case on hold because he had to deal with two other issues. One, as well to let several banks lose from the class action in according with the Stone Ridge decision of the United States Supreme Court. And he has acted upon this. And then it's the second aspect, which is the grant of vicarious liability. And he has not acted yet. But as soon as he acts on that issue, and we expect this to happen soon, then the case would go on, and also the consortium case would go on, and the next step would then be preparation for summary judgment, etc. It's likely, reasonably likely, that this will all happen sometime in 2009. So now you ask me about the jury. Both parties have asked for jury trials with respect to Bank of America, and therefore it is likely that it will be a jury trial. And the jury trial will take care in North Carolina.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Craig Lochner from Millgate. Please ask your question.
Hi, I was wondering if there's any known counterclaim now in the Bank of America or the Grant Thornton case?
There are counterclaims. We don't know exactly the amount, but there are counterclaims in both Bank of America and Central.
Okay. Do you have any idea what the scale of those counterclaims might be? I mean, if you don't have a number?
The scale is hundreds of millions.
Okay.
But the same, what I said before, is true for them. These counterclaims, which they are permitted due to an exception that that Kaplan has allowed under the 304, Section 304, the former Section 304 Bankruptcy Code of the United States, would not help, that helped them in the United States, would not help them in Panama.
Okay, and then I just wanted to go back to the process by which Citi will ask or will come back to Parma to have its, you know, award, counterclaim award reviewed. Can you just maybe give us a little bit more detail on how that process works? Assuming, you know, assuming that all appeals fail and, you know, assuming that today's information was final. I mean, how would the process work? Are you, do you have to file a motion in the U.S., requesting that Citi go back to Parma as per Section 304 or whatever it is? Or is there, just give me an idea of how the process works.
Well, we don't have real precedents, and this is all new law that we are developing here. But I guess the effects will be that the decision, yesterday's decision, will be memorialized in some official paper, which will have a stamp and signature and something that makes it a document an authentic document of the Superior Court of New Jersey. Once they have this document, most likely they will translate it, have it authenticated. And then they will go to a lawyer in Parma and they'll hand it over and say, well, we want this to be forced. They may go, they have different avenues. They may go to the Court of Appeal or they may go to the Bankruptcy Court, but I guess they will go to the Bankruptcy Court. That's at least what seems to be the most reasonable step. At this point, what they do, I can imagine, but I will not reveal what I think because I'm not their lawyer.
Right. But when you say they have a couple of avenues that they can take, you're talking about avenues that they can take in Parma. I guess my question is, are there any avenues that they can take in the U.S. to circumvent the 304?
In Italy, I mean, when I say Parma, but generally it's Parma. In the U.S., well, you used the word circumvent. I would not have used it as a lawyer. I need to be a little bit more cautious. But they have already, if we want to use this word, which I use now in quotation marks, they have already circumvented Parma because they went to the United States court to ask for something that they can get only in Italy. So what else could they do? Doesn't have assets in the United States, so they cannot enforce it against or seize assets. It would be contrary to the ruling of the bankruptcy court. Keep in mind, they had only the possibility of having these damages liquidated in the United States. They cannot enforce it. This is the ruling of the U.S. bankruptcy court.
And because there's nothing to liquidate in the U.S., they have to go to Parma to get something.
No, that is not the rule. This I just mentioned as an aside.
Okay.
No. This is, even if we had billions here in the United States, they could not enforce it here because the enforcement belongs to the bankruptcy court. It has to be enforced against the bankruptcy. It is not something that they can enforce against other assets that are unrelated to the bankruptcy case.
Okay. Thank you.
Put that.
The next question comes from Paolo Carbonari from Euro Inviliare. Could you ask your question?
Yes, hi, good afternoon, everybody. It's Paola Carboni from Euromobiliare. I have a few questions about counterclaims on the Bank of America and so on. You seem to have already answered, but I had a further one about the importance of a jury verdict. It's not really clear to me how this affected you, in the sense that I had the impression that you could have been favored by a jury verdict because Citigroup asked a motion for an indirect verdict and this was denied, and the decision seemed to be in your favor. And now it seems to be the opposite. So it seems that having a jury verdict was a negative to you, and that could be again the case in the Bank of America trial. So I'm really wondering what is wrong there.
Paula, I am not sure whether I understand all implications of your question, but let's summarize it. You said that we prevailed, I believe, on the director's verdict, but that is something that doesn't have much weight here. Everybody, once the evidence is closed, once a party rests its case, we say in the United States, the qualified party is entitled to ask for a directed verdict, and generally those verdicts are denied. So you cannot put too much weight on this. Now, the jury here has ruled against us, but as I said in my introductory, the instructions by the judge were very precise, though they were within the bounds of the judge's summary judgment ruling, which we say needs to be expanded, and that's the reason why we are going to appeal it. But the jury obviously did not understand the final point of the law, which is understandable. Now, you say, I believe this is the point that escapes a little bit my understanding. You then made reference to Bank of America.
Yeah.
Which is jury trial there, but there are different questions. The Bank of America trial centers on totally different aspects of fact and law. Therefore, the jury verdict in the Citi case doesn't have an impact. The only reverberation could be that more psychological, but otherwise one has no impact upon the other. Is this your question, Paula, or do you have some follow-up?
No, no, this was, I mean, my question as far as Bank of America is concerned, and on the contrary, I had a clear understanding of the, I mean, how the jury verdict could have been negative to you in spite of the fact that Citigroup had presented a motion for a direct verdict. So, I mean, if Citigroup had asked for a direct verdict, it seems now very strange that the jury was in favor of Citigroup. So, very strange to us, but I mean, probably this is the fact, and that's it.
Yes. Well, I share your concerns and your perplexity. You know, this is a very, very difficult case. It lasted for 4 years, and the jury was sitting for almost 5 months. And now they decided on a piece of paper with that is made out of 5 pages, and it looks like when there is a poll, do you prefer this, do you prefer that, there are little squares there, you can make an X mark, you can check yes or no, and then you go through. It's a very mechanical approach. You don't write motivation, you don't explain why you're doing, you are just mechanically checking off as if it were a test for admission to medium or high school in the United States. That's how juries work. So I understand your uneasiness, which is also ours, but that's how juries do their work.
Okay. Thank you very much. very much. Just the final point, coming back to the timing of the Bank of America trial. You said for sure not 2010, as far as your understanding of the situation. But still, looking to 2009, you are still confident of starting in Q2 2009, or there could be some delay?
Number one, I did not say I'm sure.
No, okay, sorry, I used the wrong word, okay.
I'm not sure of anything, but
yeah.
I say I reasonably expect that it should be 2009. Now you injected this final point, Q2 or Q1. Well, I'm hard-pressed, but let me say it could be May or June, something like that.
Okay.
And you should allow a reinsert to me, maybe I have to come back in a couple of months and correct this. But it should be the second half, close to the second half.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Bill Bortemark from Brummer. Please ask your question.
Hello, Nicola.
Hi,
I was wondering, I mean, obviously the judge limited the claims there was only one remaining, but now for good reasons I agree with you that you could maybe get some of the claims back. How would that change sort of how a jury would look at the evidence? Is it more likely for some reason that it's easy to prove something in front of the jury because of the change in the claims, or?
Oh, obviously, that's the whole point. By limiting the aiding and abetting to larceny, it was real, real tough on us, because we had to prove that Citi had direct or constructive knowledge of the larceny going on in Parmalat, and that Citi aided and abetted it. And we believe we did prove it, notwithstanding this very, very narrow instruction to the jury. If we, however, succeed in the Court of Appeal, in the appellate division, to broaden the scope of the aiding and abetting, including deepening insolvency, worsening or deepening insolvency, and if we take out this very tight limitation of entire delicto, then it's a totally different landscape, much easier to prove, and we would expect, if the case goes back to a new jury, the jury would be enormously hard-pressed not to rule in our favor.
Yeah. Because obviously you had a decision point when the claims was limited to the very narrow claim, but you still thought, I mean, why not go ahead and try it? Do you today sort of miss that? Maybe you should have appealed that decision already then, or maybe?
Well, you see, that is a real tough question. We could have appealed, but even if we had appealed at the time, summary judgment, it was not sure that the judge would have faced the case. He may still have gone on. In fact, there was very few days. The summary judgment, I believe, was 15th of April.
Mm.
The trial started on 5th of May. And once a judge starts a trial, which jury already there, selected, it's very, very rare that the judge would send the jury home and would say, now I stay the case for a year or for 8 months or how long it would take until the Court of Appeal has answered. And having all of this in mind, we made a judgment, really, and said it's better that we let the trial go on. We do our best, but we reserve our answer to it.
And when it comes to sort of the, if your appeal is successful and the scope is broadened and Citigroup appeals back and forth a little bit, when do you think that the next trial could be? Is this sort of an 2009 event, or is it a late 2008 event, you think?
Okay. Well, the situation is that we will have our appeal papers filed probably in a month and a half. Generally, appellate division takes between 8 and 12 months to lose. It could take longer.
Okay.
There is never a very firm date. But if you look at precedent situation, it could take, let's say, maybe on the safe side, a year.
Yeah.
Means we are in October. Next year in October could be the time when this whole thing starts again for a new trial.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you, Bob. I must tell my friends who are asking questions that we are close to an hour now of questioning. I'm very glad to do this. I have to catch a plane later today to go back to Italy. So if you could try to limit more questions, which I hope I have already some way or the other already addressed.
Your next question comes from Ricardo Estepito from BDM Capital. Please ask your question.
Hello, Mr. Palmieri. You mentioned that you are quite confident to be successful in the appeal. But if I'm not wrong, I remember that in the past, Citigroup appealed against the choice of New Jersey as the jurisdiction of the trial. And secondly, Citigroup proposed to be judged by a judge instead of a jury, and you rejected this proposal. So this means that you had all the most positive conditions to be successful in the trial. I would like to understand why a judge should be more favorable to you if you in a first stage rejected this idea. This is my first question. My second question is if you think that there could be any political reason not to penalize a U.S. bank during the current financial situation. And the first question is if you can remind me again the timetable of the appeal. Thank you.
Okay, Ricardo. why am I confident in the appeal? Well, the judge said in the summary judgment paper that speaking of weakening insolvency, worsening insolvency is an accepted doctrine in New Jersey. However, in Italy, and that is almost obviously wrong. So, and there are other, I just read a line of the judgment ruling. Now, other things like this. Obviously, where the judge ruled applying Italian law, he did so by taking into account, he does not know Italian law, obviously, taking into account expert opinions that were submitted by both parties. Both parties had excellent professors, Italian professors, explaining the law, but apparently you take two professors and you get three opinions. Because in this case, the judge believed one professor who said that in Italy there is no such thing, which I am also an Italian lawyer, we find very hard to believe. Now, but you concentrated on the different thing, that the city lawyer tried to have the judge accept forum non convenience. The lawyers of Siri would have loved his case to be tried in Italy. But we tried it in the United States. Why they wanted Italy escapes my understanding and my imagination, but they did at least 6 or 7 attempts. The last one very recently to have it but we did not accept it because we believe, we firmly believe that this case belongs to the United States to be decided upon. You said something about the jury, and in our papers, in our complaint, which has the date of July 29, 2004, there is clearly the demand for a jury. You said that Siri did not ask for a jury. I don't have jury's complaint here in front of me. Maybe, may not, I don't want to belabor that point. Generally, trials in the United States are decided by jury. That's a fact. And even if somebody, some of the parties does not ask for a jury or opposes, there's always the other party that would do the contrary, it's just a practical matter. Why do I say the appeal has the probability of being more balanced because the appeal judges are judges, are learned judges, are professionals. They understand the law. Jurists, by definition, do not know the law. They don't have to rule upon the law. They have to find the facts. But in doing, in so doing, they have to follow the instructions of the judge and the law, and these instructions are not easily understood. The financial situation you addressed may have an impact. That was a psychological implication, personally, of mine. Nobody has to share it. But I think that that can have had some impact, and the timing of the appeal, as I said, it is between 8 and 12 months after the papers are filed.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Your next question comes from Joe Gazzolano from Babson Capital. Please ask your question.
Yes, Mr. Palmieri, you made reference to the fact that the B of A case is different than Citicorp. So can you just give us a couple of points of why that's the case?
Oh, Joe, I think that after we are real, since we are real late, and really now to ask you to not have more questions, I would not be able, for that very reason that we are under time constraint, to address what the Bank of America case is. But I said in my introductory that the Citi case was a, just think of Enron, you know, the prepaid contracts and all that stuff, exactly the same. Have a loan look like something different, like an equity. This was Citi. Bank of America is much broader. Everything is in there, and therefore you cannot compare it.
Thank you.
So, maybe one more question, and then we have to close this conference call.
Your last question comes from Levi Seitz from Parent Capital. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Palmieri. I had to get off the call for a minute, so apologies if this was covered before. But I'm a little surprised by the number of questions concerning the counterclaims. Now, from the perspective of a shareholder, it seems to be almost irrelevant. I mean, I understand that you don't think the counterclaims will result in any payments anyway, because they have, you know, because they have to go to Italy and so forth. But even if they are, I just want to make sure that I understand correctly that the any payments would be diluted by the recovery ratio that was applied in the bankruptcy. So, I mean, if I do the math, even if you had to pay the $364 million, so to say, pre-bankruptcy, it would come to maybe 1 cent a share. Am I doing this wrongly? I just wanted to be crystal clear about
that. I don't think you're doing it wrongly. I have not done the math, but I can do the reverse calculation. All practical effects, should it, what I'm not admitting and not saying at this moment, should it ever be possible to get it, get this claim accepted by the bankruptcy court in Parma, then it would be something between 18 and 19 million shares of Parma stock.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, then,
want just to thank you very much to Mr. Palmieri for his availability from the United States for today's conference call. And if there is any other question, please send me an email. And when Mr. Palmieri comes back to Italy, we try together to answer to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.